is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, and good to be back on the air. We've got a lot of interesting news coming up. A lot of people are asking us about the fire. Mount Adams is on fire, basically, and it's totally surrounded by some pretty gnarly flames. There was a major forest it's a major lightning storm did it. I think there was like at least 7 major fires started with a lightning storm, and there's somewhere around 5,000, well over 5,000 acres have burned already. They've got, I think, 4% containment on it. It doesn't look like it's contained at all, but I find it interesting here. We have basically one helicopter dropping water on this fire with a little basket. And, you know, I don't know if they're bringing beer out to the firefighters, which would be great, but, you know, in that basket. But for a fire this big, I keep asking myself, whatever happened to those tankers, you know, that they used to drop fire retardant on the fires? And quite a while back, I know with Clifford Carnicom and William Thomas and a lot of these other people were putting out information that a lot of our firefighter equipment was converted to do the chemtrail program. And so rather than spraying, you know, the fire retard on the fires, they're up there spraying the strontium, barium, and aluminum oxide and a whole plethora of other biologicals and chemicals on us. Unknowns to many, but we've got Michael Murphy coming up on the next show, which is going to talk all about that. And he's got the new movie out, Why on Earth Are They Spraying? He's the one, the filmmaker, documentary filmmaker who did the other one, he did the movie on the What on Earth Are They Spraying? So you know, that's coming up, and that's going to shed a lot of light on this. But I just find it interesting with a fire this big how we're just not seeing any tankers coming in. And, you know, there's actually nothing being dropped on this other than it looks like one helicopter. They might have brought one more helicopter, and I saw another helicopter, but it didn't have the big basket on it. Anyway. I think it's interesting, but I do want to give credit to the firefighters. They are out there working hard. They got the fires in White Salmon taken care of. The ones down on 141 along the river, they took care of those fires pretty quickly and put some fire breaks in and got those, you know, put out. But this Mount Adams fire is just raging right now. It looks like something out of the movie Apocalypse or something, you know, with as it's getting closer and closer. I doubt if we are in any danger. I doubt if it's going to be coming this way. It's actually kind of going up towards the west right now. It was blowing back on itself a while back, which was really interesting. We were doing these Yigong practices with the wind and meditating and asking the wind, you know, to change directions. And the winds almost always come out of the northwest here. And what happened was really bizarre. That morning, the winds totally changed and started going in the reverse, coming out of the southeast, and actually were blowing the fire back on itself, which was really nice. And I talked to one of the forest rangers, and they were totally puzzled by it, you know, by the event. So, you know, there's a lot of power and intention experiments, and so maybe we can all do a prayer and an intention experiment to see this fire either, you know, be blown back in on itself, you know, help out the firefighters, send them whatever inspiration they need to get this fire out. And maybe we can reconvert a few of these chemtrail planes and do some good with them, you know, and put out some of these major forest fires that are going on. This is all part of the quickening, you know, with the erratic weather, we have, you know, major rains in certain areas, which create the tall grasses and the excessive growth and fuel. And then we have the droughts. And so, you know, when the droughts come and you have these coronal mass ejections and solar flares one after another, things start really heating up and it just becomes a major tinderbox. And that's what we're experiencing. But, you know, this is all ongoing. Tonight, we put it out on the shout out on the email list to have people ask questions that we try to answer the questions. And we're also going to have open lines. So if people have questions they want to ask, anything concerning earth changes, ETs, you know, the source, God, creator, spirit, the future, anything. Anything you want to ask, it's a good time to do it tonight. Because we've dedicated the whole show, the whole two-hour show, to answering any questions that you might have. And so basically, I'm working on getting this fast chat back up, but it popped off here. I might be able to get it back up. But we're not using fast chat, so it's best to just call in, and I'll give you those numbers. But we're going to go ahead and read the questions first that we have now that we've compiled, and give the answer to those, and then we'll open up the lines to call-ins, and we'll give you those numbers. I'll give you those numbers right when we're coming up to the end of the other session. But be sure and get a pen, piece of paper on hand, or go to the website, and you can get the numbers there. And we'll give you those numbers in just a minute. But now, with my lovely assistant, we're going to go ahead and ask these questions and see if we can get some answers.
Hi, James.
Hello, this is Shelley.
So we have Dmitry Tevchenko, 12 years old, wrote in and asked, do alien ships ever crash?
Well, yes, they do, and it's quite interesting. From my understanding, the Roswell crash was created by some pretty powerful radar systems that were installed, you know, in that area, because it was a very sensitive area, White Sands. They're doing a lot of nuclear testing and things of that nature, and building atomic bombs and doing all kinds of crazy things. So they put in some pretty extensive radar. And these radar systems actually, they, you know, did the old cross the beams routine. And I guess they found out it would actually create a powerful weapon that would disable some of the ships. Also, too, there was a major lightning storm, too, at the time, which could have also been caused by the radar. Who knows? You know, we've got HARP doing all kinds of crazy things. So so basically, that's one thing that we're dealing with. Is the HARP, you know, HARP and other things. There's a few other things going on with the HARP and the other things that are going on where they're playing with volcanoes. I know there's some major volcanic activity going off over in the Japan again. So we got to send some good intentions over there. There's quite a few things going on. I'm looking at the list. We're gonna go ahead and go through this list. There's so many different questions on here, and there's so many, they're so diverse. But, you know, getting these, we're going to jump all over the spectrum here. And so just a minute here, we're going to bring on the next question here. I'm going to give those numbers out if you have your pen handy. But let me give you those numbers. 1-888-627-6008. And the other number is 530-327-7602. We've got another line here. It's 413-4522 and 413-5011. Again, that's 530 area code on that. So, again, the numbers are 1-888-627-6008, 530-327-7602, 413-4522, and 413-5011. Again, that's area code 530. So, you know, go ahead and write those numbers down, and we'll get to you. Be patient, but we're going to go ahead and answer the questions that were emailed in first. Okay, so for our next question.
This question is from Jay. He says, there's quite a disagreement about when and if a geophysical pole shift is occurring in the near future. We know from the geological record this has occurred in the past. So what's your info on this, and can you explain a magnetic and geophysical pole shift?
Interesting. Yeah, the magnetic shift is just when the magnetic poles shift, and that happens on a regular basis. It's all written in the geological records, and as far as from my understanding, when you have a shift like this, I think it really wreaks havoc on electronics and anything with a ground wire. So the poles are moving. They're moving very rapidly right now, and they are the magnetic fields of the Earth are also diminishing, and so that we're kind of like sitting ducks for gamma ray bursts, cosmic rays, you know, the dark rift that we're moving to, meteor impacts, you know, all kinds of things because of these shifts that are going on and major holes in the magnetic fields. But and then you have the physical pole shift where actually the poles totally shift and totally physically shift. And so you're like Brazil would be the next North Pole or something like that. And those have happened too in the past. We've had meteor impacts that have actually knocked the Earth off its axis and moved it quite a bit in the past. There's a lot of reasons for this. One is a natural cycle that we go through where we have, you know, about almost every 11,500 years, like clockwork, we go through a major shift. Some say it's because of Planet X or Nibiru passing by. Some say it's because of an alignment with the dark rift or galactic plane. But, you know, either way, when you take all this into effect, our information from the beings on high are saying that there will be a partial shift. And we're really hoping that this shift can be gradual and the Earth will find its balance again and get back to its natural state because it was knocked off the axis quite a while back by in the days of Atlantis and Lemuria by a major meteor impact. There's a lot more to that story, but it's a two-hour show, and it'd probably take about 2 hours to go through the full Earth history. But hopefully we got that question answered. But I would keep an eye on these next between now and December 21st, just because there's a lot of events unfolding and things are going to be moving really fast. And they're talking a lot about the second week in October for a lot of major happenings. There's a lot of events unfolding around November. And then, you know, December 21st, we have the alignment with galactic plane. And I just pay attention to your surroundings and watch what's happening all around you. You know, people are feeling it. People are in process. The Earth's in process. There's a definite quickening going on, and so we just need to pay attention to that. And if you get out in nature and ask, get attuned with nature, you'll see something's up because the animals are all acting funny. Our whole field was wall-to-wall ravens the past 2 days, and there's really no reason for that, you know, but they were here and they were talking, you know, and pretty loudly. But let's go on to the next question.
This question is from Angela, and she says, what's the connection between the sun, the earth, and mankind?
Whoa, that's an Edgar Cayce one. I tell you what, we have in some of my old, classes I used to do and presentations, I had a wonderful picture from NASA, and it showed this wonderful magnetic line that went from the sun to the earth, and the earth was actually held in the grasp of the sun through this magnetic gate, you might say, or it was just a big stream of magnetic energy coming straight from the sun and surrounding the earth, and that's still there. It's been there for quite some time, and so, boy, the connection, you know, you turn the sun off, it's over. I mean, everything's over here on the earth. You know, we just become an ice ball, and that's pretty much the end of the story. But the sun, you know, and the photosynthesis and everything, it's just amazing how much we depend on the sun. Now, the conscious connection, I believe that whenever we're having wars there's a direct relationship to sunspots and the sun erupting, throwing out flares and coronal mass ejections and things of that nature seem to be directly tied to consciousness on the earth and events happening on the earth as well. And there's a lot of history in that. People have recorded this. And years ago, I gave an equation out. And basically what it talked about was when the sun throws off, you know, coronal mass ejections or flares, it first, you know, creates a lot of kind of social unrest because people get, you know, agitated and a lot of emotional outbursts. Some people go comatose. You know, some people get excited into anger. It just depends on your nature. You know, some people just go, I just got to lay down, you know, or they might be getting headaches or joint pain and things like that because of these shifts. So that's the first aspect of it. When the gamma bursts come off, the people who are real sensitive feel that because they're tapped into the higher consciousness and energy, which follows the electromagnetic light spectrum. And so people who are very sensitive will feel, you know, as soon as the sun blows off and the X-rays and gamma rays hit, you know, and, you know, they feel it right away. And then other people might take 2 or 3 days before they feel the effects. And it does affect the bioelectric fields around the human body and the Earth's body and all life. You know, it affects all life. But it then moves into creating erratic weather, crazy, you know, hurricanes, typhoons, you know, big winds, things of that nature are generated from the solar activity. And then it moves into an increase in earthquake and volcanic activity after that. So as it moves down through the higher levels, you might into the denser physical levels, you can just watch it like clockwork, watch these things unfold. And so it's a good idea to pay attention to the sun and see how it's affecting you, how you're reacting to the sun. And on those days that we're getting a huge solar blast, use that energy. You know, use it to process, use it to heal, you know, use it to propel you forward, you know, in your own awakening and healing process. I hope that answered your question.
Okay, this question is from Avi. He wants to know about Time Wave Zero and how it relates to the Palladian message. Does it have any relation to Cliff High's work?
Well, that's interesting. I tell you what's fascinating here is that we keep getting these messages from the Pleiadians, basically, and we get some from the Orion Council of Light and the Andromedans, too, as well. But they'll give us a date, and they'll say, okay, a couple days either side of this date, there's going to be a lot of changes, a lot of shifts, and just hang on. You know, you got to hang on during this time because a lot of stuff is going to be moving real fast and a lot of changes. Now, the time wave zero, I'm not an expert on that, but from what I understand is this is created from a graph where they graphed out all the major calamities, you know, the major earth changes, stock market crashes, wars, all these things on these graphs. And then I'm not sure, so don't quote me, but and they run these graphs and they run it up to December 21st, 2012. And these graphs have these high points and then very deep low points. And at the deep low points is when, you know, everything kind of hits the fan. So I thought that was quite interesting. When you look at these graphs and how they work and the information the Palladians give us, it's funny because we'll look at these graphs or we'll look at the Mayan calendar or things of that nature. And lo and behold, the dates correspond. And they're the exact same dates. So I think it's quite fascinating. The Palladians have been speaking a lot about, you know, the first week in October, and they've been speaking a lot about November as well. And then they said there's a lot of major events happening even before December 21st. So I think it's up to each individual to really tune in and see, you know, what it means for them and what they're feeling. And, you know, establish their own God, creator, spirit connection. And in doing that, you know, then you don't have to depend on anybody else. And you can get your own decisions going, you know. But that's my understanding. There's a second part of that question. What was the second part of that question?
Does it have any
obvious? Oh, Cliff High's work. It, you know, they all seem to tie in together, which is really interesting. Cliff High will come up with some times and some events too as well, which I'm totally fascinated by. So I think all of that is going on. You know, take all the information in, run it through your own inner sensitivity and see what it feels, you know, to you. See whether it feels right to you or not. And that's the main thing. We all have to develop our own inner sensitivity. You know, what I was told in meditation, Babaji came to me and he said, it's time to lovingly and joyously prepare. And it's also a time to kind of master attachment to everything. You know, friends and family and places and things, we have to master detachment. and listen to our own inner guidance so we can get through these changes. And, you know, it's really important to do that right now. Okay, next question.
So Mary asks, how can we cope with and adjust to the incoming energies? Are there any tools or techniques you can share?
Well, I like to get a few crates and a baseball bat and just go out and just beat them into little splinters. But, I'm just kidding, folks. Sometimes that works, believe it or not. Sometimes you just need a release. Chopping wood's a good one, you know, things like that, just to get this energy out, you know. Go for a run, you know, go do some hard physical work, you know, ground this energy out. Grounding the energy is really important. What I found out lately, just there's something we have to master, and it's called being the observer, and mastering judgment as well, and being the observer, and just watch things unfold, and become sovereign in your own energy. I think it was Byron Katie was talking something about there's your business, there's other people's business, and God's business, and other people's business is God's business. And when you get into other people's business, you're not taking care of your business, and you're also out of your center. You're not centered in your own God self, you might say. So, you know, there is a loving, joyous, powerful, manifesting God within everybody. It's this totally blissed out entity. It's waiting to come forward. And that is our natural state. And so when we step out of our center and into other people's programs and dramas and things like that, we step out of that state. And it's not going to be easy to hold that state during these times. And you know, we have such an ego investment in being right and all these other things going on. And, you know, it's very hard. And some people that have deep victim patterns or wounds or traumas or major egos where they just have such an investment in being right, they're going to have the hardest time getting through these changes because it's going to be really rough on them. And so I think what's most important is that we have to have the spirit time. We have to get out in nature. It's very important to learn how to clear unseen negative influences and do things that bring you joy. Just get balance back into your life. And it's so important right now because if you're all work, you know, that's not good. If you're all play, that's not good. If all you do is meditate, you know, that's not good. You know, find some balance. You know, bliss doesn't let you sit very long. You know, when you're totally blissed out and you're tapped into spirit, you want to go serve. You want to go do something with that energy. And that's where it takes you. But without taking that time, our energies can become very depleted. And then we're no good to ourselves or anyone because we've just drained our batteries down to zero. But there's going to be all kinds of dramas and fun games to jump into if you want, you know, through these times. But I love, again, what Babaji said. He said, the best way you can help humanity is to live a thoroughly loving, joyous, abundant life and be an example to others. And when we are holding our own center and we're totally connected with our own Godhead, you know, our own God state of mind, our bliss or joy or whatever, that emanates from your aura and that affects everybody around you. So that's, and you might have to take time away from, you know, your job or your business or whatever else you're doing. You might have to take time away to stay centered and get in touch with that, your original self, you might say, your true self.
So Brian asks, how do we know when we are either being influenced by unseen negative energies or that it's our own stuff that we haven't yet processed?
Well, that's quite interesting. There's so many different ways of dealing with that. What I've seen is that and we have a saying here, if you don't like what you're feeling, do a healing. You know, it's pretty that simple. And there's different ways of looking at things. One is that it's all you, it's all your stuff, and whatever you're experiencing, you can heal it. You know, you can go within and heal it or clear the energy or call on your higher self. If you have your own connections to your own main teacher and guides or things like that, you can call them in and do clarions and clear the energy, which I highly recommend. And the other rule of thumb is that it's not you anyway. It's all an illusion. The stuff is not really you, so it doesn't really matter. And so it's very hard to get into that point of that detachment again, where you're just going, it's just stuff. I don't have to blame anybody. I don't have to say it's your stuff or it's my stuff. It's just stuff. And it's not really who we are. And if we can start seeing the God in everyone and everything and just keep clearing this stuff, that seems to be the most powerful way out of doing this. And you'll recognize eventually, you know, when somebody comes into your space, you know, and you're all blissed out, there's a good indicator that, you know, they might be carrying some entities with them and some baggage or whatever. So, you know, or if you're really reacting to somebody, it, you know, it could be your baggage, but it's so important to take responsibility and not project or blame and tell them, you know, you did this to me. You make me feel, it's good to get a good line of communication and just say, you know, when this and this happens, I feel this, or, you know, I'm working on this and work it out. You know, good communication is important. And, you know, I'm not, you know, basically I'm not a master at good communication at times because, you know, I'm kind of a Cancer Leo cusper, you know, so the little Cancer me likes to like sidestep things and move over here and let them work themselves out. And then every once in a while when it gets too bad, the Leo comes out and that doesn't really look too good sometimes. So I'm still working on that myself, you know, when to step in and when to just allow. And it's the more you can allow, the better, you know, and again, try to be an example of, as we said before, you know, just be an example of walking around with your own personal God connection.
Great. So Susan asked, what do you see happening in the economic future, and do ETs have an economy?
Well, that's a good one. Okay, as far as the economy is concerned, the you know, I don't know how. I just heard. I mean, I don't watch news. I don't have a TV hooked up to the airwaves or anything else. I threw my TV set out the window in '76 or something like that because it's such nonsense that and such programming. There's so much terror, fear, and well, that's strange. Got some strange. Strange music playing in the background, but we'll see if we can fix this. Hang on just a second. We've got some crazy stuff going on here. It's fixed. All right. Now that was strange. All of a sudden, the iTunes popped on all by itself and started playing an interesting song. But anyway, I think I'm going to blame my computer for that one and not take responsibility for any of it. But just kidding there. And, you know, to me, that's a good example where things happen. You just have to deal with it. You know, you can't freak out. You just have to go, whoa, what's that? You know, and just deal with it. You know, deal with it as it comes. And there's a lot of surprises coming in the future, and we're going to have to learn to deal with surprises and not, you know, not be in fear and stay tapped into it, to what's going on. The, you know, it's so important right now to stay, just to really find ways to stand in your bliss and stay centered because of all these challenges coming up, and I can't talk about that more. But what was the question again? I got off track when the...
What do you see in the economic future, and do ETs have an economy?
ETs. Do ETs have an economy? I do not know of any ETs that have an economy, especially the higher ETs do not have an economy. They know it promotes greed and separation games and elitism and, you know, they any advanced race is going to be operating under unity consciousness. And if you're operating under Unity consciousness, what do you need an economy for? You don't need money. It's not important. And you're going to, you know, make sure the resources are distributed to everybody who needs them. And you're going to take care of your environment because you're going to see the creator in all creation. You know, you're not going to trash your planet. You know, and people that are enlightened are in service. You know, they serve humanity and the earth, or they serve their planet and their people. And that's just the way they operate. They don't need an economy. They want for nothing. The whole, you know, galaxy here in the universe is their playground. You know, they can zip anywhere they want, blink in and out, and do whatever they want to do. Depends on how highly evolved they are. So it's just, you know, they've transcended all material need. They're beyond that. Most of the advanced ones. Now, there probably are some that might be a little less evolved than we are. I don't want to say evolved. Let's say they didn't take the same path that we did. Maybe they didn't go into technology and they just stayed living close to nature or things like that and don't have a lot of technology. You know, they might have some kind of an exchange going on. Who knows? But to me, it's you really think about money. We really need to get clear on this because it's a little piece of paper. It's a little green piece of paper. That's all it is. And the only reason it has value is because somebody says it does. It used to be backed by gold and then oil. And now it's, I don't know what it's backed by. Usually the war industry enforces that it's observed in, you know, around the world. So, but you know, we've just done another massive quantitative easing, and I'm not sure how many trillions they just threw back into the system again. But you know, when you have a certain amount of money, you might say, and that money has value, and then you just print a whole bunch of pieces of paper again and throw them out there, that's going to definitely do something to the economy. And you know, we might end up, the dollar might be worth 10 cents. You know, it's going to take $10 to buy what used to be $1. And so I think it's very important to, you know, a good friend of mine, John Savage, who was one of the producers, we had a long talk about this with the movie Contact Has Begun. And, you know, you really should check that out. It's a really good movie about these times that we're moving into. You can go to the eSETI.org website and check it out. But basically, you know, I loved his analogy. He said, you know, when you got a rotten apple, it's a rotten apple. It's done. You can't fix it. You know, you're not going to transform it. You can't even make a pie out of it. It's a rotten apple, you know. And our system right now is a rotten apple, period. You know, there's nothing, it's not fixable. And the only thing you could do is, you know, maybe pull the seeds out of it and try to grow another tree, because that apple's not going anywhere. And we need to start looking at that. We need to start looking at, okay, this isn't going anywhere. This is not fixable. It's going to tank. Maybe it's time to start investing in things that are, you know, very useful. You know, invest in land and in getting fresh water, seeds, getting, you know, shelter. You know, maybe a nice supply of food in case the grid goes down with the major solar flares and things like that. And I would just kind of, you know, step away from this system. And you know, this rotten apple is about half decomposed right now. You just might as well just let it go the rest of the route and move out of it. And, you know, take your seeds and start growing a new apple. And because and that's my take on it. It's why try to fix this? It's so broken. It's beyond repair. And some of you go, well, that's doom and gloom and things like that. It we really can't repair what's going on right now. It's the present system, you know, with all the derivatives and just the trillions of dollars of derivatives that can't be paid, and the other things going on. You know, it's just can't be fixed. It's just an eventual reality that it's gonna crash. And even the big boys are banking on that now because they're taking out put options on the economy crashing. So So if they're doing that, it means they're probably going to crash it and cash in again. So it's just what they do. And if you want to be enslaved to that system and ride that roller coaster, you know, have fun with that. But if you want to do something else, I would start doing it right away.
Crystal says, what are your thoughts about ancient wisdom resurfacing? And do you think people are being downloaded with dreams and visions of that ancient wisdom a little bit more frequently?
Boy, definitely. What I'm seeing right now with the energies coming in, the quickening, it's just amazing what's the openings that are happening. And we really need to pay attention to our dreams and in our meditations, the visions that are coming in, and learn to kind of translate that and see what it means to you. There's certain symbols that mean certain things to collectives and certain things to individuals. And so you have to find out what they're saying. Just last night, I had a dream of a cougar, you know, a huge cougar coming down the hill, and his eyes were just lit up, you know, and a cougar usually represents courage. You know, we're going to need a lot of courage to get through these challenges that we're dealing with. And so the courage of the cougar or the mountain lion or whatever, you know, is coming down the mountain. So, you know, in my life, that's really important. And I have a lot of dreams like that and visions like that constantly. So we need to pay attention to that. The ancient wisdom is resurfacing, even physically resurfacing as the Antarctic melts. They're finding all kinds of artifacts and old buildings and things that are going to start coming to the surface. And old Atlantean technology and things of that nature. So as land masses start to rise, you know, up from the ocean, as we get better at exploring the ocean and bring more equipment out, we're going to start finding that, you know, our ancient ancestors were pretty highly evolved and had some pretty amazing technology in the past. So all that ancient wisdom is resurfacing, and a lot of people are carrying it within their own souls and participated in that in the past. And so that's coming forward in dreams and visions as well. So I think, yes, it's definitely coming in, and it's exponential. And we need to start paying attention to the inner guidance that's going on, the visions and the dreams and things of that nature.
Elizabeth asked, with all these dreams and visions people are experiencing, how do we know whether or not those insights are real or just insanity?
Well, you know, it's good to be in sanity versus out of sanity. And the whole world is, I think right now, is insane. You know, so I don't know how you'd even measure that. You know, imagination is real on the level of imagination. So whatever you're imagining is actually real in the mental planes, where things manifest instantly. Do those manifestations serve you? You know, do they have any higher good? That's a good question. You know, that's important. You know, we can get caught up in all the astral level stuff and all the freaky entities showing up and everything else, and just, you know, make a huge drama out of that. Or we can focus on our own, making our own personal God connection and walking, you know, as a God being through these other levels, these other dimensions. And, you know, so if the little elf pops up, you know, in front of you, just laugh and smile and have fun with them, and just know that it's an experience and have fun with it. You know, if you see a fairy or if you see a orb, you know, cruising around your bedroom or other things, just observe it. You know, you don't have to get all excited and freak out and make a big thing about it. It just is. You know, these other planes and dimensions exist. The veils between dimensions are becoming very thin. It's cool hanging out with all these other beings. You know, a lot of them have such love and joy and bliss that when you connect with them, you feel it as well. But always remember that it's all within you. The whole universe is within you. And you know, if you're feeling this and experiencing this, you know, chances are you were probably part of it in the past. Or you know, it's an old saying, you can't recognize what's not within self. And that's a very powerful statement in everything. you know, the good stuff and the bad stuff, both, whatever you want to call it. And maybe the bad stuff isn't so bad after all. You know, it might have a function or a purpose. You know, it's like, you know, if you're walking through the yak field out here and you step in a fresh patty, you know, it's like, it's, that may be a bad experience for you, you know. Or, but if you go take a shovel out there and pick it up and throw it on your garden, you know, that's a great experience. So, you know, the yak poop doesn't care. You know, it's just there. You know, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't judge you whether you step on it or use it in the garden. It's just there. It just is. And so that's kind of the way everything is. It looks like we're running up to the end of the hour here. We're through with we're ready to take call-ins, but we're through with the reading other people's questions and answers here. And we're setting up the thing to hear so we can get some call-ins. So if people want to call in, you know, it's a good time to call in. We might be able to hook a phone up to over to the guest house where people are listening to the show and see if there's anybody out there that might want to talk on the air, you know, or has some other questions. But, you know, if this is the time, you know, a lot of people say, hey, you're not addressing our questions. You know, we're trying to get through. We've been fast blasting. I hate to tell you this. I never look at fast blast, you know, because it seems, you know, I just had it up and it popped off again. But anyway, it's real important to, you know, that if you want to have some questions or if you're having an experience you want to share, anything about ETs, earth changes, you know, you've seen some ships and are curious about what's going on or if you're connected to them or any of that, you know, this is the time to do it. You know, this is the open lines, and anybody can call in who wants to call in. And let me give you those numbers again. The numbers are 1-888-627-6008. And the other number is 530-327-7602 and 530-413-4522 and 530-413-5011. Oh, looks like we got Terry here on line 3. Terry, are you with us?
Here.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, James. I have a question.
Sure.
In all of your talks that you talk about, it's about connecting with your higher self. And if a person has tried over the years, many years, and has worked with different light workers to help facilitate that, and they still can't, or the few times that they're able to connect, the door gets closed again. How do you overcome that? And I do all the healings in your book every day.
Boy, I don't know. You really broke up there in the past, and I hopefully I've got this. It's about, I guess, if you're a light worker and you're feeling yourself closed down, you're not getting information, and
you don't feel connected.
Don't feel connected
to your higher self. When you don't. You can't. You. It's like you cannot connect with your higher self, or even your guides.
Yeah. You know, there's many reasons for that, which is really interesting. I was lucky. I went out and drowned myself. You know. Or it's very, very easy for me to just, the phone line's just always there. I just have to pick it up. You know, and there's beings on the other side. It's a constant communication. But, you know, it was like maybe 30 plus years of intense working with lamas and yogis and people of that nature to get that open. But what I would suggest is mainly to do clearings. If you feel stuck, you might want to get an objective person that is awake or aware to help you you know, because it's really hard to see what's blocking you or what's not allowing you to connect in. Sometimes even where you're staying, the place you're in, might have a very dense frequency or to it, you know, or there's entities hanging around that are shutting things down. So there's a lot of different reasons. But what I find to me the best thing I do is I get out, you know, I change my surroundings. I get away from what I'm used to. you know, my comfort zones. And sometimes that means just going, you know, a block away or a half mile away or whatever, find a park or find a forest or a river or something like that, and go down and sit and meditate and ask, you know, for help to clear out any blocks or patterns or whatever. And also, too, there's times when the energy is just flat. There's just not a lot of communication going on. And there's times when there's just a lot of things. It's just like the ships here. There's times when the ships are just flying everywhere. And, you know, we could have 150 ships flying over the ranch. And there's other times when maybe one or two are coming over. So there's waves of energy and cycles, you know, that we can recognize. But what I've said is usually if you feel blocked, it's because of something's up, you know, some patterns popped up, some either past life. You know, you could have been burned as a witch in a past life, so you can't go forward in your healing practice, you know, or you could. There's all kinds of things. You know, I knew one person that was trying to learn channeling. He couldn't channel because he had his head cut off by the king, you know, and he was supposed to be the all-seeing eye for the king, you might say, you know. So and so he blew it, you know, and said a few things and they're incorrect and they just chopped his head off. So he couldn't you know, he was stuck. His throat was stuck. He couldn't talk. So, you know, he couldn't channel. He would start to channel, and this fear would come up and just shut him right down.
One time after reading your books, I sat out on my deck, and I'm in the woods. I mean, I'm in the woods, way in the woods. And
that's
calling to the, you know, just the opening my heart to the ships. And a light beamed right across the skyline, and there's no cars at all. There's no way it could have been a car. Bright, brilliant light. And then later when I went to bed that night, I felt so much pressure on my crown. I mean, so much pressure on my crown. But that was it.
Well, it sounds like we lost Terry. I'm not sure. But, yeah, it's phasing in and out. I think she's either on a cell phone or whatever. But, yeah, that's one of the things. You know, the pressure on the crown's pretty normal, you know, and that means you are doing right. You're doing the right thing when you feel a lot of pressure on your crown or your third eye. And it means you're being contacted by, you know, a sixth or seventh dimensional being, most likely. If you're feeling things down in your lower chakras and your gut feeling, you know, and things like that, where things are feeling negative or sickening or nauseating or whatever, then it's definitely time to do clearing. But what I found out is the more clearing you do, the higher you go, the more you expand, the more you feel safe to expand. And that really helps you connect. So, and there's a lot of clearing to do right now because everything's up. I mean, the astral levels are just being beat up right now by these higher energies coming in. And they're just like flipping all over the place trying to find a home. So there's, you know, there's a lot of ghosts, discarnate beings, all kinds of low-level stuff, flitting around right now trying to shut things down and keep the status quo going. But you know, that's coming to an end. I think we've got Mark on line four. Let's see if we can bring Mark up. Mark, are you with us?
James, I'm here. How are you, my friend? Are you there?
Yeah. Boy, I don't know why we're getting a really bad connection here.
Okay, here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
like
that's
Jack
better.
In the box. Okay. I'm from Sayulita from my Fish Taco restaurant. How are you?
Good.
I just want to talk to you a little bit about this Planet X thing. I just got on your show. I don't know if you brought it up or anything. And what's going on with what is it called now? Herculupus or something? Well, I've been listening to some of 32 Degrees of Insanity with Donnie Gilson. Do you know who he is?
You know what? I'm really having trouble hearing you because it's breaking up really bad, and I don't know if it's my connection here or the connection to the studio, but could you repeat that?
Okay. I'm trying to get some clarity on this whole Planet X thing. I think it's called now, From 32 Degrees of Insanity with Donnie Gilson. I mean, kind of listening to his talks on, I think it's Wednesday nights. And he's talking about new planet. Yeah, and I just, you know, I tried to go to, I even went to Griffith Park in L.A. trying to get some astronomers, you know, what's going on with this, these double suns. And, you know, everybody's just saying it's a big hoax. And but I'm just feeling as that it's not. And I think it's, and I just want to get some clarity maybe from you, what you've heard and what's going on with it, with the new coming on right now.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, we're popping on and off here.
What I can what I'll do is I'll try calling back on another line. Okay. Go ahead and take another call. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll see if I can discuss that. I'll try to discuss that. I know you're concerned with Planet X and our view on Planet X. I don't know. I've talked to a lot of different beings out there, and they all seem to have different takes on it, you know, and different views on it. What my understanding is that the sun is our biggest challenge right now with the solar flares and the coronal mass ejections and things of that nature, and the grid holding up and the severe weather and increase in earthquake and volcanic activity. That's the major challenge. We are moving into alignment with galactic plane, which is another major event, and we're getting hit with over 500 times more bursts of cosmic energies and things of that nature. So that's another one. That's the main thing. I don't know how much effect Planet X is going to have on us this time around, but they're stressing a lot more on the other events, you know, that we need to
right,
take
of
care
of. The sun. The solar stuff is going on, right? Huge. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
All right. Sorry, I could barely hear you. You're breaking up pretty bad. I don't know if it's my connection or where this is coming from, but it's definitely... breaking up a little bit, but let's take the next call. I think we have Alberto. Let's see if we can bring him on. Alberto, are you with us? It's like we lost Alberto. Let's see, Kathleen. Maybe we can bring Kathleen online too.
Yes, Kathleen's here.
Oh, hey, welcome to the show.
Hi, is this James?
Yes, it is.
Hi, James. I'm Kathleen. I'm pleased to speak with you.
Welcome.
You're very familiar with orbs. And I was wondering if I could give you an experience and you could give me your insight on it.
Sure.
I am a veteran. I'm ex-medical in the military. I was exposed to Agent Orange stateside, and this information was withheld from me. And I have been experiencing severe nerve damage and severe disability, and I almost died, and the VA denied me care. And in the process, I was called to this property that I purchased after 30 years of fighting with the VA for service-connected disability.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was denied care at the VA and got down to 84 pounds, experiencing severe nerve damage from the Agent Orange eating up my nervous system, I was just, preparing to die. And I live out in the country, and I'm very attached to the earth and nature. And I was just praying and asking to see a nature spirit before I died. And I was very comfortable with dying because this is very severe pain what I'm experiencing, and I no longer do narcotics, and the VA nor any civilian doctor will no longer take care of me, so I'm taking care of myself, and nature is helping me to heal myself. But in this process, as I was, I'm being slowly paralyzed because of the central nervous system damage. And where I live is 11 miles from town, and there isn't a whole lot of lights except the neighbor's floodlight. And I live in a flood area, and there's a forest. I'm next to a state forest, and my property goes up. I'm on near the Appalachians, the foothills, and I saw this light up at the top of the ridge, and it came down through the trees, and at first thought it was an airplane, but then it came into the trees. I thought it was someone with a flashlight, but no, you couldn't go through the woods up there with a flashlight. And it came down, crossed the creek, stayed on the other side of another creek, and was about the size of a basketball, a bright white light. And I wasn't afraid. I was just amazed because I thought that my dream, my prayers had been answered, that a fairy had shown up, you know, that I got to see a fairy before I died. Well, it stayed across the creek, and I was maybe 50 yards away. I didn't try to communicate because I was so amazed. And then all of a sudden it just disappeared. Well, I was on my deathbed. I could hardly put sentences together because of the damage to my brainstem. And I was going through a lot with things that were happening. And within a week, I wasn't able to eat. I started being able to eat again. I started being able to form sentences again. This light did not heal me like some people are healed, but this light made it so that I wasn't going to become a ward of the state, turn into a vegetable, and be abused by the VA for the rest of my life. So I've talked to other people about what they thought this light might be, but I haven't been satisfied with anyone's explanation. What is your take on it?
Well, you know, these lights, they appear here all the time, and we have these beautiful golden ones and white lights, and we see them moving through the forest very quickly. You know, definitely not a plane or a person with a flashlight or anything else, because they come out and they just cruise right across the field right in front of us with multiple witnesses. So, you know, these are definitely higher dimensional beings. They do have the ability to help people and heal people. We've had a lot of spontaneous healings here that were associated with these orbs. And, you know, it's not a bad idea to when you see one of these orbs to ask, you know, set your intention and say, hey, I'd love to get some healing, you know, or some insights into what I need to do to heal myself, or if there's any help they can give, you know, and see what happens, because we've had a lot of spontaneous healings happen here. One thing, you know, I'm not a doctor. I can't give medical advice, but I know there's some things out there that you can do that are outside, you know, the system. You know, probably a good naturopath or a good herbalist could help you, you know, in getting that out of your system, the Agent Orange. And I know there's if you go to Langenberg Research, they have an oxygenated water that is just amazing. I mean, I've been at death's door because they sprayed us here at the ranch with something. We don't even know what it was. It was a major nerve agent, and all the chickens just dropped. I mean, they were paralyzed and all messed up, and it affected us on our right side, and it was pretty messed up, and I got very sick and very ill afterwards. And I started drinking this oxygenated water, and it just popped me right back up again to where I could deal with it. But it goes after it, you know, boosts the immune system. Oxygen is the highest systemic antibiotic you can get. It breaks the bonds of toxins and chemicals. It's pretty amazing. And so I would definitely look into that. If you just look up Langenberg Research or Langenberg Water on the internet, it'll pop up, and they're oxygenated water, and you can give them a call and tell them, you know, what you're dealing with, and they might have something else for you too there as well. But you know, that's
thank you, and that's the only reason why, because of that experience, it gave me enough energy to go to use the computer, because electricity is hurting me. Moving around is causing paralysis, and I'm detoxing with herbs. Nature is keeping me alive, and I'm taking herbal supplements to try to build back the myelin sheath that the Agent Orange is eating away. So yes, thank you very much. And so you feel it was a dimensional being.
The liver is what creates the lecithin, you know, which helps, you know, repair your myelin sheath and things like that. And so a really good liver cleanse is a good idea.
Things like that.
Yeah, I would look into a good liver cleanse, and I'm sure there's some other things that you can do. You know, find a good naturopath or a good herbalist and, you know, tell them your story. And I'm sure they'd probably give you,
I've been doing that here and there, and I'm learning more myself and doing, because I'm a medical laboratory technologist, microbiologist. So I'm keeping myself alive and I'm keeping myself going because I'm finding a lot of people that, you know, would like that green stuff in return for, you know, any information at all. And I'm, you know, I have to hire people to help me. So finances aren't something that I'm free to just bounce around. So I really appreciate your help and your insight. And I thank you so very much, Jim. And thank you for all the things that you do for our blessed earth.
All right. Well, hey, thanks so much for calling in. And definitely check out that oxygen water at Langenberg Research. It's amazing. It's like a godsend.
Well, can't you make your own oxygen water by, you know, sticking a pump into water and then drinking
you oxygenate it? No, as soon as you pop the lid, it's gone. This is not your average water. It's actually crystallized oxygen that's suspended in a microhydrant. So it's a whole different animal. When you drink it, you can get an oximeter, put it on your finger, drink the water, and watch the reading on it. You'll see it just pegs. You know, your oxygen levels go right up to the top immediately. So it's an amazing animal. And, you know, the man who invented it is just a genius. I don't know. He's got, like, God knows how many PhDs. And he's one of these super German physicists. He's a super genius that created this.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, and bless you, and you take care.
All right. Well, we'll send you some good healing juju.
Oh, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. I think we got Sally, hopefully, still on line 3.
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the
show,
James. Sal.
Hello? Do you hear me?
Oh, boy, you're breaking up really bad.
Oh, really?
Can hang on there just a second. I'm going to see if we can reconnect with the studio.
Okay.
Because our connector is just not working.
If I move around a little.
Just stay
any
right
better?
There, caller. I will reconnect with you.
Any better?
I'm going to reconnect with you right now, James.
Yeah, okay. Hang on a second. I'm going to reconnect with you, Sally. We'll be right
back. Okay. They're reconnecting me.
I didn't say he was. He's taking bandwidth by watching movies. It kills my bandwidth. Hello?
Back.
Sally, you there? Okay.
Can you hear me? Okay, you know, I really feel for Kathleen that you just talked to, and you know what might help her is oxysulfur. It's a organic pine resin, but you can buy it. You can get it on the internet. I think it sends oxygen and sulfur, the nutrients we're not getting in our soil, and I think that'd be good for her. I'd also like to ask you how your quart thing's going.
Oh, the quart thing, yeah. That's
talk about
rotten apples. That's about as rotten as you can get. You know, it can't be any worse than that. But you know, the what's happening there is I don't know where to start on it, but what's happening there is
to bring that up.
Well, basically, just to make a long story short, you know, this is our like eighth appearance or something like that. We're trying to get a continuance so we can move forward in it. It's, you know, there's no case whatsoever. There's an estoppel in place. They haven't answered any of the affidavits. They're in default. We're just getting railroaded. Every time we go in there, they just railroad it and push it through. And so we have to, you know, take some other measures. But, you know, they don't have any case. There's no injured party.
They don't. The people that all surround you guys, you give them a lot of business. I mean, they love you. I mean, you're peaceful, very spiritual place up there. I don't get it. But what I'm calling about is I want to tell you what happened with my boyfriend and I, the night of the meteor showers. I think it was on a Sunday night, the 12th or something. We went up to Downeyville to watch the meteor showers. And I think I emailed you about this. We went down to the Yuba River about 7 o'clock, and it was just starting getting dark, and there were stars out. It was just starting to get dark, a few stars. Next thing we know, okay, it's pitch black. There's a light on us across from the river. And then it's pitch black. We see the Milky Way in all its glory, and we see a ship taking off. It was so bizarre. We get back to our room, and it's 10 o'clock at night. It was amazing. What do you think about that?
So you had some missing time?
Yes. Yes, 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Yeah, and I know because I brought a bottle of Skinny Margarita down, and only like a quarter of it was drank, and we were down there for 3 hours, believe me, the bottle would have been gone. And they took our dog, too, because my dog was down there with us, and if the dog hadn't gone, it would have been at the car, because he's used to traveling with me, or it would have been, you know, at the room, you know, outside the door waiting, but no, he came back with us, but this light was on us. And it was almost like a diversion from us looking up right away. You know, it was like a spotlight on us. Like, it was just bizarre. And then I look up, and we both look up, and it's just pitch black. You can see the Milky Way, and it was pink and white. And it was just gorgeous. And then we see the ship just taking off. And I went and sat on a rock and started pounding. You know, it was just so bizarre.
Yeah. Well, your story is one of many, and it sounds very familiar. There's other people, you know, personally I know that have had the same experience, and it seems to be an ongoing thing where people are having, you know, seeing some pretty amazing ships, all different colored ships, and having missing time and coming back with all this information or healing or something. You know, there's so many different things going on. But well, you're definitely not alone in that experience.
Okay, let me tell you another thing that happened. Okay, October 28th, I was sitting in my back porch with the kids were watching. They had a sheet hung up in the back porch with the showing movies. Okay, I'm sitting there watching them, and just out in the sky, these little gold particles develop out in the sky, and this gold ball zooms at me. Okay, it came so fast, within like a half a second, came like 5 feet within me, turns around, does a U-turn. I jump out of my chair. My granddaughter saw it, too. I jump out of my chair. It zooms right by me, turns a U-turn, goes over the house, and then goes behind a tree, and then it just kind of, I don't know if it exploded or what, but it lit up.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments on what that might have been?
Yeah, probably an ultra-dimensional. You know, more than likely, we have a lot of similar things like that happen here.
I've been up to your place a few times, and I love that place.
Yeah, I had one experience that was quite interesting, and I mean, I'm sure I'm going to be stuck in the nutcase file for this one, but I was out in the forest, and it's way up in the Snoqualmie Mountains up there, and this ball was moving through the forest really fast, this light ball. And it was a bright white ball, and about, you know, I would say it was about size of a soccer ball, maybe a little smaller, moving very fast through the forest. And all of a sudden, it started coming right at me. You know, and I was just starting to cook dinner, and I grabbed the frying pan, and I held it up.
You grabbed the
it was coming at me so fast. And I think a frying pan might be highly overrated, you know, when you got a rat at you for protection. But you grab what you have. And it went around me. It just traversed right around me and went down the path, you know, next to me. And I go, well, that was interesting. So I made dinner. And then I heard this moaning noise, like down the path, this loud, really loud, kind of real moaning, morbid energy. And my first intuition when I heard it, I go, that's Bigfoot, you know. My mind stepped
in. Well, could have been at your place.
That's a cougar. That's a bear, you know. And I go, no, it's not. It's not. So I walk down the path, and I end up running into a Bigfoot, you know. And
did you really?
50 feet away, female Bigfoot. So, you know, I don't know. I can't say I saw the orb turn into a Bigfoot. The orb went right where the Bigfoot was, ended up.
Wow.
But wow, this Bigfoot did walk right in front of me and phased out.
Holy!
You know,
oh, I didn't know that. That is wild.
Yeah. Yeah. So wild. To me, if you put two and two together, I think they have the ability to travel through the forest, you know, as a light sphere if they desire and rematerialize, or they can definitely dematerialize and shapeshift and do some other things. And I think they're highly evolved beings.
I do too. I think they can go in dimensions. Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. So you've seen a Bigfoot up there. That's amazing. I didn't know that. How do your yaks like the Bigfoot?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they get along fine because he's coming around here stealing our apples every now and then.
Absolutely. If I could, I'd transdimensionalize up at your place to tell you the truth.
You see this? They hear these big footsteps, and they see this big silhouette of this upright thing running. And it come up and it'll look in the windows at the guest house or whatever. It'll just stay in the shadows, you know, and be observing. If somebody comes out, you know, starts walking towards it, it takes off and runs. And usually the guest will run the other way at the same time.
That kind of reminds me when the paranormal went up to investigate. They said something's going on here. Interesting.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, we just put a nice peanut butter sandwich out for it, and you know,
we put lollipops out for fairies around here. In our spirit,
these guys are not going to hurt anybody. You know, if you treat them with respect, you know, and respect their territory, there's no problem. But if you go after them, you know, and arm yourself and try to go after them and go after them with aggression, you might have a very,
what you think you will receive, right?
Yeah, might have a real rude awakening. You might find yourself hanging upside down in a tree or something.
Okay, well, James, it was nice talking to you, and I'll let somebody else talk to you, but thank you.
All right.
And good luck with your court case, and God bless you.
All right, we've got...
Bye-bye.
We'll see if we can. I think we've got Mike on line four. Let's see if we can bring Mike up. We're still having trouble with our connection. I think what our problem is that due to the fires in the area, they are replacing a lot of phone lines and internet lines and things of that nature because they pretty much burned up, you know. So I think they're still working on the lines, and
And so I think that's why we're having trouble, you know, hearing some of the callers and some of the guests. But hopefully we've got Mike.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Hey, I've got a question about where can people go to get good information about what's going on and things, something that's trustworthy. There's so many sites out there, and everybody offering up something a little different, and I really don't know what to believe. There's a few sites that, oh, it sounds good, but I don't know if I can trust it or not.
Can you repeat the last part? You don't know what again?
I don't know if I can trust the information I'm seeing at some of the websites. There's so many out there. There's that Cobra guy, there's David Drake, there's all kinds of people. And I'd like to know, is there someplace that's trustworthy that I can go in and maybe not completely trust it, but, 70% possibility that what they're saying is true?
Yeah. My whole thing about all that stuff is that, they have a lot of good information, those websites, and a lot of times they're very accurate in what they're saying as far as the legality of things and other things, but I think they greatly underestimate, the dark forces in many cases. And whereas a lot of stuff is wishful thinking, and there might be white hats behind it and things like that, they might jump the gun a little bit in timing and things of that nature. And I'm learning that myself. I'm going to court, and this should be a slap dunk case. I mean, they don't have a case. There's no injured party. They don't have a cause of action. There's no reason for doing what they're doing other than malicious use of process and barratry and just plain harassment. But the problem is that the system is corrupt. It's a rotten apple. And it just doesn't function. And it's a racket. It's an extortion game. And they're not going to let go of this system, anytime soon. And I think there are things coming that are going to collapse the system anyway. Their own greed is going to collapse it. But, it's a matter of, I think a lot of these websites and these things, because are greatly, underestimating, who they're dealing with. And I keep waiting. I keep hearing the arrests. The arrests are imminent, these guys, the Illuminati boys, Gates and Rockefeller and even Obama's going to be arrested, or Bush is going to be arrested. All these people are going to be arrested, and it's going to happen tomorrow. And, I've been hearing these stories since 1976, by some of the same groups. But, God, I would really like to just see one arrest. Let me, not some CEO that nobody knows, or whatever, let's see one of these big names, behind bars and stay there, actually not being out going to a dinner or a function, the next day. And I'd be a happy camper, I'm just not seeing that. It just doesn't seem to be unfolding, the way all of them are saying it's going to unfold or would like it to unfold.
Yeah, that's the trouble is I read this stuff and it sounds so good. I'd love it to happen, and it doesn't happen. It's kind of like, the Keshe Foundation, you've heard of that, right? The one that's supposed to, pretty soon, I guess the 21st of this month, supposed to release some information?
Yeah.
Do you got any feelings on that, if it's a good thing or not?
Well, I think this Keshe Foundation is for real, and I know of some of the science that he's talking about, and it is for real. And so I would just really stay on top of that because some of the information that they're letting out, some of the technology and everything else is just amazing stuff. I know other people that have similar technologies that are right on the edge of releasing this as well. So a lot of that is coming forward. We don't need fossil fuels anymore. We've got incredible healing technologies that we have. We don't have to be popping pills constantly.
Right.
All this stuff.
Just release it. Let's just let it go. Let's release that stuff, folks. Get it out there for us. Okay, that was my main question, I guess, was trying to find a trustworthy place for info so that I could go and look and not have to fight. Is this true? Is this true? Oh, this guy says something different kind of thing. So.
Yeah, I would trust your own BS meter and just watch, you know. If somebody keeps making claims and saying they're doing this and they're doing that and it doesn't happen, then you know, what I don't understand is nobody's checking their credibility and just saying, hey, you know what, you gave about 10 predictions of major events happening, none of them happened, but they never address it. They always come up with a reason why it happened, and you know, but they never address it, and I think it's maybe time to hold people to task for some of the stuff, especially, you know, prophecy. That's different. You know, the best prophets are the ones whose prophecies don't come true, and they're warning the people so they can create. If they reach enough people, they can create a change. You know, that's a little different story. But when you say, hey, I have inside information, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and it doesn't happen, then you have to start questioning these people and their inside information, which is weird that people don't do that. I don't know why. It's just that critical thinking and discernment just seems to go out the window.
Yeah, I think basically it's because they're hoping and wishing that some of this is going to happen, because it would be better for us as a whole if some of those people were arrested and you know, like the financial system changed over to the, from what I understand, it's the Mascara or something like that. It's supposed to be the new system. It's supposed to be really good for everybody and stuff. So anyway, I do thank you for your time. Have a great evening.
All right, thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, you know, there's some good information out there on paper. It's awesome. I think this Nasara thing is great, you know, what they're trying to do. But again, you know, this is another group that's been making a lot of claims. And you know, I always hear about these major funding programs, you know, these St. Germain funds and this fund and that fund, and it's going to fund tomorrow, and the packages are there, and I know a lot of people that got involved in those things, and I'm still waiting to see their package come in. You know, nobody's gotten their package that I know of, but I'm not saying these things aren't real or don't exist. All I'm saying is that, you know, where's the beef? You know, when are you going to actually, you know, have this package in your hand and you know, come to me and say, hey, look, check it out, you know? Because, you know, I have people that owe me thousands of dollars that are waiting for the Nasara thing to go through or some other big funding thing to go through. And you know, me and my, you know, I tried to help these people out, and I didn't realize that that's what they're waiting for, to pay me back. And so now I'm just going, what? You know, you're waiting for this? That wasn't the deal. You know, so it's you know, it's just one of those things, I guess, you know, one of those lessons. Let me see. I think we've got Tina on line two. Tina, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, welcome.
Can you hear me?
I can. It's a little
rough.
Can you
hear me? Can you hear me?
The phones. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I could barely hear you. Well, nice talking to you, James. I have a question. I know I'm an intuitive, and I noticed in the last year to 6 months, I've been getting a lot of ancient knowledge that's been coming through. And I've noticed recently, you know, I have a lot of crystals. And I've noticed recently that the crystal kingdom has come alive exponentially as far as their chatter and vibrating in my hands when I hold them now. And I was wondering if you were getting any kind of information or feedback from the crystal kingdom as well, of them coming alive, or I'm not even sure what exactly is happening there with them. But I was wondering if you've experienced anything like that lately.
You know, I know a lot of people that involve themselves with crystals. I mean, I love crystals. I don't talk to them so much, but I love having them around. And I love the energy of the crystals. And I know Marcel Vogel used to create some pretty amazing crystals that were cut specifically for, you know, attuning to fifth dimensional energies or healing frequencies and things like that. You know, there's a lot of work being done out there with crystals. You know, to me, they almost seem to be alive. You know, when I'm playing around with them, they seem to have their own consciousness. But I'm sure, like everything, the mineral kingdom and the crystals and the plants and everything are talking right now. And the more sensitive we become, the more we can hear them and feel their energies. And you know, when you reach a certain level of enlightenment, you realize that everything has a voice and everything is communicating and everything is connected. So it's don't be surprised if your dog, you know, starts talking to you in your head or your horse or something like that. It's quite a shocker when it happens, when you pop into that level where you can hear or feel, you know, what the animals are feeling or thinking. But yeah, it's definitely, everything is being amped up right now, and I think crystals are definitely a part of that, you know, process.
Okay. All right. Well, you take care, James, and thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for calling. All right, I'm going to give those numbers again. If people want to call in, the number is 1-888-627-6008 and 530-327-7602, 530-413-4522, 530-413-5011. So if you want to call in on any of those numbers, you can go to the website and get those numbers. Go to BBS Radio. I'm sure you are probably already there, or you wouldn't be listening to us. We do go out on some other stations, but hopefully we can get some new callers in. You know, we've covered just about everything. I'm trying to think if there's something else I wanted to talk about, but you know, what I'm seeing right now, just my own experience, and I'm not trying to, there's an old saying, if it's not your coat, don't wear it. But the Pleiadians told us that on the 16th that, you know, a major shift was going to happen. And we put that out in a newsletter to keep an eye out, you know, that on between the 16th, you know, 2 days on each side, you're going to feel a lot of energy coming in. And, you know, I've heard some people go, oh, nothing happened, you know, well, a lot happened. Some volcanoes went off. Some crazy weather went off. You know, sulfur's been popping everywhere, you know, coming up. There's been a lot of earthquakes. But I don't really think that's the case. I think these are waves of energy that just bring everything up. And they bring all of our unresolved issues. And the things that we could just kind of hold down and not deal with in the past are surfacing. And those people with the most issues are those people that are holding on tightly, you know, to the past or their judgments or old consciousness or old ways are having the hardest time right now in dealing with these energies. So it's very intense right now. These waves that are coming through are pushing everything up. And, you know, it's a good time to really go within and, you know, shut out all the external noise and get out in nature if you can and really establish your own personal connection with spirit or source. Because, you know, that's the only thing that's going to get us through these times. You know, we can't just deal with this on one level. There's many levels that we have to work on. And it's imperative right now that we learn to process and heal and be sensitive to the energies that we're carrying and transmitting and stay on top of that, because it's a test, you know, and it's a big test right now, and we're all being tested. It looks like we've got Michael online too. Michael, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you, James. Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome.
Just a quick question. Could you comment on the accelerated telepathic connection that's going on between just average everyday people and how, whether it's a unity consciousness or however you might choose to put it, just the telepathic communication reawakening that has been dormant in mankind for quite some time? I'll go ahead and take my answer off the air. Thanks.
All right. Good question. You know, telepathy is actually one of the DNA lines that are opening, and you know, there's 13 major DNA lines that we have, and when these new lines start, oops, got a little buzzer. You know, you start telepathy is one of them that opens up. There's also a salamander gene. If you can activate, you can actually grow a new arm, and your body will start healing itself. There's the ability to see forward or backward in time, you know, to be a visionary, and that's a DNA line. And there's one line that opens up that allows you to bilocate, you know, and actually move forward or backward in time physically. So all of this so-called junk DNA is being activated right now, and some people are a little further ahead than others. A lot of people in the self-mastery classes we have here are so connected, you know, they don't even need to use their phones anymore almost, and they're phasing in and out and appearing and disappearing and bilocating. It's kind of crazy, some of the things going on here. But the telepathy thing, I think, is a major one that's opening up. And there's another thing that's opening up called direct knowing that's along with this telepathy, or the sensitivity to feel and just know things from a higher level. The guidance is on high, you know, it's coming in stronger as the veils go down and we're vibrationally lifted to the next level. And what's going to happen with this telepathy, it's really interesting. A lot of people are experiencing this. They know when something's going on with their mate. They know when their energy's down. They know when they're going through a challenge. They just pick up the phone and call, you know, when they're thinking about them. And they don't even know why they're doing it. All of a sudden they'll go, oh, I need to call them, you know, and they get the image or the face or the feeling, and they pick it up the phone. The other person will go, I was just talking about you, you know, we were just discussing this, you know. And so that's happening on a major level right now. And I think eventually when this telepathy really kicks on, these politicians are going to have a really hard time, you know, because, you know, you really listen to what they say and watch what they do. They're totally, you know, usually complete contradictions. And when they're talking now, almost everybody listens to them talk and they're just going, okay, yeah, whatever. You know, it's like, it's all just a big show, and it's a big corporate show and a corporate game. And people are onto it now, and they're waking up very fast. And they're seeing through it, and you know they're really having trouble getting the charismatic liars out there to do their thing, because you know, people are just not buying anymore. Because when people are up there talking, you know, they're telepathically or feeling the energy's not right, that this person isn't right, they're not telling the truth, or you know, that this isn't their intention at all. You know, what I see lately, I see these politicians, they'll say something and then they get this little smirk on their face, like that's going to give me points with the corporation, or that's going to give me points with the powers that be. You know, when they say their lines right and promote war and promote, you know, all these crazy things that are going on, you know, they get this little look on their face, and it's amazing. You go, wow, you know, they said that. You can tell they're not sincere in what they said. You tell there's an agenda going on, and it's so easy to read right now. And so many people are reading this, and you can't miss it almost, it seems like. For me, you know, when I look at it, I go, wow, you know, it's like, I wouldn't want to go to dinner with that guy, you know, or I wouldn't want to enter business with this guy, or buy a used car from him, or any other car for that matter. But, you know, that's what's happening right now. I think the direct knowing, the feeling nature, that the BS meter is really intensifying, and people are seeing things for what they are, and not, they're not judging things by the outer appearances or, you know, the fancy speeches and everything else. They're just going, I just don't like this guy. I don't believe this guy. And they're going by their own inner guidance now. And I think it's awesome, you know, that's happening. And, you know, pretty soon we won't need the cell phones or any of the other phones at all. I think I've got, it's hard to read here. It's either Cy or Sal on line three. See if we can bring them on. Welcome to the show.
I'm on. Hi, James.
Yeah, now who am I speaking Hello? With? It's,
are you this there? Is Sal from Long Island.
Oh, welcome to the show.
Hello? Hi, James?
Yeah, we're here.
I'm having an echo, so I really can't hear you.
Yeah, we're having some real problems here, too, as well.
Okay. Yeah, James, I was out there in 2011 for the conference, and I met you and spoke to you, and I was out there with my friend Tiger Lily from Seattle, and we had a great, great experience there, and I just wanted to finally talk to you again. But we saw some really, really amazing things, ships and, you know, orbs, and I captured this photograph, James. I don't know if you ever saw it. I sent it off to Pam at the time. But I captured this photograph in the Field of Dreams after asking for healing, and I don't know if you ever saw it, but it's a ball of light that came in. I mean, I actually have the photo. I could send it to you if you want. I don't know if you saw it, but it's a ball of light, and clearly next to my friend, and then next to her, there's an image of a woman. You know, as a veil, she had a veil on her, right next to the ball of light with a hand over my friend. And then behind that is a complete, you know, shade of purple, you know, behind that. It's just an amazing photo. I don't know if you ever saw it. Did you ever see that?
You know what would be great to do? If you could send me that photograph, send it to, you know, ufojames@gorge.net so I can see it. I'd love to see that. People are just getting amazing photographs here of light beams coming down on their heads, light ladders.
Oh, man, this one's incredible.
Yeah,
What is it, UFO James, what? Can you repeat that, UFO James?
Yeah, UFO James at Gorge, G-O-R-G-E, .net.
Okay, .net. Anyway, yeah, I'm here on Long Island, you know, and I've been seeing some ships lately. I mean, more frequently, the ones I saw out there with you, you know, just the solid ball of white orb coming on, and then blinking, and you know, just I had a really good experience up in Lake George a few weeks ago with my son Michael. I was dropping him off to college up in Plattsburgh, New York, way up by the Canadian border, and I stopped at my friend's house in Lake George. And I want to really have an experience before I drop him off, you know, because he thinks I'm crazy. You know, I showed him all the photos, and I try to show him things on the Internet, but he wants to know part of it. He's 18 and all, you know. Anyway, so we're looking out. I'm looking out at the sky most of the night, and there were people outside, and everybody went in the house. It was about 10 people. And as soon as people went in, a ship showed up, you know, just like we see at the ranch, you know. And I couldn't believe I saw it, so I'm looking at this thing, and I'm saying, I want to make sure before I, you know, call my son out. And I said, Michael, come here, look at this. There's a ship. And he looks up, and he goes, no, that's not a ship, that's a plane. And just as I said that, a plane flew by. And I said, no, a plane blinks. See the blinking lights, the red, blue, and green? That's a plane. This is a solid white orb flying in the sky. And I said, now watch what happens. It's going to blink a few times. And as I said that, it started blinking. And I said, look at that. And all of a sudden it just disappeared into the, you know, into the night. And I said, now, you saw an actual ship, Michael. And he goes, he really didn't believe me. I said, Michael, I can assure you it was. So I take that as a blessing, you know, because, you know, I was dropping him off to college, you know, away from his parents for the first time. And I was really excited for him to see his first ship. And now he's up there in Plattsburgh. It's right on Lake what's it, came to the lake there, Champlain, and I called him recently. I said, Michael, I said, are you thinking about the ship we saw? And he goes, kinda. And I said, well, you know, you saw a ship, and I said, I wanted to realize that, you know, I hope you don't think I'm still crazy, like, you know, all these years I've been telling you about it. He goes, no, I don't think you're too crazy, just a little bit, you know. But it was just a wonderful experience, James, and I just want to say, when I came out there in 2011, it was really a wonderful experience, and I hope to come back there next year if we're still in this dimension. I'm sure, you know, if we're in the fifth dimension, I can come there, you know, in another means besides flying by air. But I just wanted to share that with you.
All right. Hey, well, thanks for calling in. Yeah, there's so many ships flying around right now, and it's happening all over the world. And I'm just getting one just incredible video after another of fleets, you know, ships with five or seven ships, flying over major cities and things like that. And, you know, we're seeing like six at a time here flying over. And these people are still trying to say these meteors and satellites, and these things are flying at treetop level and even below the trees in certain cases. But, you don't see satellites traveling together or three traveling together all at the same time and going in different directions that, you know, are changing directions. It's just ridiculous to continue to try to push that myth.
Yeah, it's just incredible how, you know, they're trying to push that. And, you know, and what I like about it is, you know, I'm really, really, you know, I'm talking it up more and more. I'm getting more brave about it, you know. And, you know, just trying to tell people that, you know, the reality is not what we're seeing, you know, face-to-face on the media. And, you know, what you go to work and, you know, you do your toil and you come home and you watch your TV. So that's not what it's about anymore. You have to realize, you know, that there's other, you know, things out there. You got to start looking in the sky. And people are starting to listen. You know, they're starting to listen. And it's very encouraging, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. I think that the shift is definitely happening. I think people are, you know, becoming more and more aware, and they want more information, you know. And you know, people like you and I mean, well, more you, you know, gets the information out, and as I turn people on to this kind of stuff, that's what's going to take. You know, it's going to take that. You know, I guess the 100 monkey effect. I think 20% of the people have to. Is it 20% that have to really accept it before they actually come and have interaction, you know, as far as, you know, disclosure? Is that what the number, 20%? I don't know if I'm talking.
Yeah, I think you're probably coming through pretty clear to the studio, and people are hearing you really well. It's breaking up really bad here, unfortunately. And again, my apologies. I think it's due to the fires up here because a lot of the phone lines got toasted and they're out there as, you know, putting them back.
All right.
I'm getting from the studio. You're coming in very well there. It's definitely on our side, you know, but, I think we just probably need to cut this one short or cut this show short just due to the fact that, we can't get a good line in here right now until they do the phone repairs.
All right. Anyway, it was good talking to you.
Yeah, you're coming in loud and clear there. It's something here in our lines that we're having problems with. And, hopefully we can get it straightened out. But,
all right. Well, I'll send that photo off to you.
Call in and shoot me an email.
I will, James. Okay. Well, I hope to see you soon, and, good talking to you.
All right. Thanks for calling in. All right. So, anyway, I think we're going to go ahead and just cut the show off about 5 minutes early. We usually quit at 5 minutes to the hour. Our lines here, just due to the fires, are a real mess. And, the fire isn't threatening us here at Trout Lake. Again, it's something like 5,000 acres, a little over 5,000 acres and 4% contained. And we'll see Monday where we go next on this court case. But stay tuned to As You Wish Talk Radio. We'll keep you updated on all the upcoming events here and on the planet. And thanks for listening. Have a great day.